Dealing with Breakups: How to End Relationships with Dignity and Integrity by Scott McKay, X&Y Communications. Introduction. I've been threatening to write this report for a while, but fortunately I didn't need an ultimatum in order to stick to the plan. Sounds like a metaphor for a bad relationship, right? Well, whatever the case, here we go on a full-tilt, four-part report on breakups. This is a topic that isn't covered nearly often enough, but which by my calculations is also a major area of interest to those of you who have written in to tell me what you want to hear more about. The way I see it, the formula is this: a question people are actually asking, plus not a whole lot of answers out there already, equals probably a good idea for a special report. So let's get on it. The logical way to break down this report into four parts is as follows. 1. When somebody did something heinous. 2. When nobody did anything particularly heinous. 3. Ending short-term relationships. And 4. Ending long-term relationships. Throughout the process, you'll get the hows and the whys featuring some practical steps and ideas. One caveat before we start, however. I am writing this series in the spirit of dealing with dating relationships rather than marriages. When marital relationships, community property, and small children are involved, some of the issues I discuss may require a bit of a different perspective, the notable exception being physical violence. My advice is always going to be to get out in those situations. As such, we'll save that discussion for another time. Dealing with breakups: when something heinous has happened. Part 1 of 4. So true to the plan, let's deal with breaking up with someone because a major breach has happened. What we mean here is that one partner, or possibly both partners, has done something that is in clear violation of mutually agreed upon expectations for how the relationship would flow. Examples would include 1. Unfaithfulness, defined as interacting with a third party in a way that violates the terms of the exclusive relationship. The concept of quote-unquote cheating can be a nebulous one, so there must not be any confusion between partners about what it means to them. For some, even looking at porn constitutes cheating, while other couples could theoretically agree to full swap swinging. There's got to be communication on this subject from the outset, otherwise you're on the road to inevitable issues later. 2. Abuse. Sure, if you're getting beat up, that's abuse, but so is dealing with repeated verbal assaults, fits of rage, plate throwing, etc. 3. Manipulation, or the double standard. If you've ever been taken for a ride before in a relationship, you know what I'm talking about already. When one person does all the giving while the other does all the taking, there's likely some heavy-duty manipulation going on. Similarly, if the quote-unquote roles are different for one partner compared to the other, then a similarly negative state of emotional affairs is likely to result. A prime example would be when one partner enjoys the company of quote-unquote friends of the opposite gender frequently, while hammering the other for quote-unquote flirting anytime he or she even looks at a member of the opposite sex. 4. Damaging habits. One partner has a devastating addiction, for example, drugs, gambling, expensive New York City call girls, carnitas burritos, etc., and the other isn't willing to share the consequences. And 5. Major life changes. This one will stir some controversy, but so be it. If a massive change occurs that essentially reshapes one partner into a completely different person in some way, I'd argue that something has indeed happened that deviates from the expected quote-unquote flow of the relationship. If someone's core worldview changes, for example, because of spiritual conversion experience or even a traumatic experience, that's one example. Profound change in personality or attitude is another, as is wholesale alteration of appearance through severe injury or flat-out neglect and or an unexpected requirement for one partner to move hundreds or thousands of miles away. If the other partner's love is deep enough to withstand these challenges, then that's a personal decision. But breaking up is also his or her prerogative, as it always is, regardless of reasons why. When there's been a major breach of faith and trust in a relationship, or there's a clear pattern of intentional manipulation, the first thing to remember is that you have every right to sever the relationship without reservation. Should you decide to quote-unquote forgive and forget the first time, you absolutely have to understand yourself as fully capable of doing so. I'll tell you, this is a particularly superhuman expectation, and there is no shame in enacting a quote-unquote one strike and you're out policy. After all, a pact is a pact, and a violation is a crystal clear violation, provided effective communication has taken place. And the first thing to remember when there's potential for either short-term or long-term danger of any kind, let alone if catastrophe has already befallen the situation, is that you must sever the relationship without reservation. Emily and I get emails all the time from men and women alike who are in dire straits at the hands of a poisonous boyfriend or girlfriend, and yet are writing us to ask what they should do. Most of the time, we understand these emails to be simple requests for validation of the decision to split up. And although we gladly reply with a solid exhortation to end such devastating scenarios, our advice is pretty much a no-brainer. The problem is that poisonous partners tend to prey upon those who are either weak-willed or very susceptible to manipulation. Their goal is to instill a feeling of massive guilt. So don't let someone who is clearly wrong for you offload blame for the situation onto you, ever. As always, if you find yourself carrying guilt when you're all but sure it's you who is being mistreated, think TGRR, or the golden rule in reverse. Would you ever, in a million years, subject your partner to the kind of treatment that you are being asked to accept? If the answer is no way, then that's really all the justification you need. To stick around in a poisonous relationship is a clear indicator that you do not respect yourself enough to demand better, and or that you're needy and or desperate enough to believe that you cannot do better than your current partner. All too often, the poisonous boyfriend or girlfriend is more than happy to help reinforce those crazy ideas in thought, word, and deed. Don't let that get to you. In such situations, you have every right to summarily end the relationship without reservation, understanding ahead of time that a manipulative and or emotionally charged response may be likely. Your resolve must be strong and your words few. This is especially true if the breach is particularly emotionally devastating or the consequence of physical abuse. Simply put, you owe your poisonous ex nothing. If you've got a box full of valuables to send back, so be it. Make it quick and drama-free, preferably by parcel post. Entering into a full-scale discussion of the matter, let alone a heated argument, invariably works against you in these situations. When you know the breakup is imminently necessary, you must not place yourself in a position to accept compromise. Now, I completely understand, as should you, that the other person may not want to accept the breakup. Your resolve must be strong. If they call repeatedly, do not answer the phone. Text messages should be ignored. Any acknowledgement of their outreach to you is tantamount to feeding a stray cat. Seriously. If he or she goes so far as to show up at your door, refuse entry. Clearly state that the next step is a restraining order. Do not let the passage of time deaden your clarity. The decision has been made. Now, granted, many potential breakup situations are a bit less dramatic even when due cause is there. For example, if personal changes or relocation are influencing you, then you've got to take inventory of your emotions. While some would pronounce decisions to break up under these circumstances as quote-unquote shallow, I take a different view. You may be the most philanthropic person on earth, but there are no quote-unquote charity cases when it comes to choosing a lifetime partner. You must be 100% satisfied with that choice, and you have the freedom to be as picky as you want, even if that feels quote-unquote selfish. Anything less only leads to mutual bitterness and expensive divorces. Think about that. This is the very essence of never ever settling. When changes happen in a relationship that exceed your logical margin of acceptance and signal an impending drop in your standards, you have the right to break up. Moreover, you're never really obligated, quote unquote, to stay with someone with whom you're not in a committed relationship. An agreement to date exclusively, let alone not exclusively, is by no means to be understood as a contract to stay together as long as your boyfriend or girlfriend says so. Always remember that. Again, when breaking up under these circumstances, the best policy is to use as few words as possible. Even so, I believe in having enough character to break up in person. The exception to this principle, of course, goes back to when there's physical danger or wholesale instances of cheating involved, when I wholeheartedly endorse ending the relationship with a phone call or even a letter. In fact, sometimes writing that letter can be particularly useful, especially if you feel like there's any chance you're actual discussion that you want to have, the thoughts that you want to express, will get sidetracked if left to a conversation. Putting those words on paper allows you to be very, very focused and get the thoughts you want expressed directly to the other person accurately. Remember that there's no real value in shredding someone's feelings on the way out, although the short-term benefit of getting stuff off your chest may be a very real one for you, as it is for a lot of people. Try to resist self-serving rants and insults, though, and in a very civil manner, explain nothing other than the fact that the relationship is over because of what happened and that the decision is final. My experience is that drawn-out discussions only lead to greater heartbreak, if not emotionally loaded and ill-advised compromises. Now, in the next section, we'll tackle the somewhat more taxing subject of breaking up when both boyfriend and girlfriend are perfectly reasonable and even attractive people, but somehow just not right for each other. Dealing with breakups when nothing particularly heinous has happened, part 2 of 4. Ideally speaking, each of us should theoretically break up with everyone we've ever dated, except for one. And as dark as it sounds, that's actually a good thing. I realize that reality isn't always that uncomplicated, and believe me, I have the track record to prove it, but I think you get my drift. And here's the deal. Provided you're the kind of person who is generally easy to get along with, and you've had some practice at avoiding utterly poisonous motos, that is, members of the opposite sex, then you're going to be faced with the inevitable, breaking up with someone who hasn't really done you any harm whatsoever. You've probably been there before already. You start dating someone who attracts you early on, but after some time has passed, one of you has decided that he or she really isn't feeling it for the other person anymore. Someone is starting to feel a pull towards freedom or someone else, but this creates a genuinely awkward situation almost every time. You see, most of us are decent, upstanding people who really don't get off on trampling other people's feelings, especially people we sort of, well, like, right? So what happens is that when someone just isn't feeling it anymore for whatever reason, things tend to drag on for longer than they rightly should, all in the name of quote-unquote not hurting anyone. But protracting relationships that aren't going anywhere only really leads to greater emotional drama down the road. It's rather like sticking one's head in the sand. Case in point, one well-worn exit strategy is to tell the other person that he or she needs some space, quote-unquote, or even that they should, quote-unquote, date other people. Such euphemisms are universally code for, well, you know, I'm pretty much sick of you and want out, but I don't know how to do that without completely flooring you. I see some of you nodding out there. Don't shout me down for telling the truth. Other people may soldier on in a relationship that has grown stale, trying to somehow tell themselves that it's, oh, you know, just a phase, or, you know, we'll work through this, or even, everyone's just under stress lately. But deep down, the longer these feelings of indifference persist, the stronger the indication that it just isn't meant to be. So how do we get into these situations? Well, whether you're on the giving or the receiving end is actually peripheral to gaining understanding as to what's going on. So for the purposes of keeping this to a special report instead of a full-blown ebook, we'll operate under the assumption that each of us will, at one point or another, see such breakups from each respective side of the fence. In fact, if your history is a particularly lopsided one in this area, that is, you've either dumped everyone you've ever met or been dumped by everyone you've ever met, you probably need to drop everything and grab a copy of Deserve What You Want using this link, www.deservewhatyouwant.com/men, or if you're a woman listening to this, www.deservewhatyouwant.com/women. Now, back to the story. We get into these relationships for one of two main reasons. First, we jump into exclusive relationships way too quickly, possibly due to pressure from the other person. Or second, and ironically, sort of the opposite of the first reason, we fail to identify what our relationships actually are, which inevitably leads to one partner's expectations being very different from the other's. So ultimately, the issue here is one of taking the high road of being honest versus the more cowardly low road of just letting things hang indefinitely. 2020 foresight involves being very plain spoken from the outset about intentions not to enter into a quote-unquote serious relationship, if such is the case. This also requires that we listen when we hear those sentiments from someone else, take them at face value, and not dream of changing the other person. It's easy to fantasize to the contrary when you really like someone, but people don't generally tell you that they aren't into getting serious without reason. Do people fall head over heels and change their minds about that sometimes? Sure, it's been known to happen, but you just can't assume that it will. That's all. But going into casual relationships with a level head mitigates the possibility of heartbreaking issues later. And therein lies the key lesson in and of itself. If you find yourself falling for someone with whom there is practically zero possibility of long-term happiness, it's better to cut it off now rather than later. Waiting only intensifies the heartbreak. But let's say you've gone ahead and entered into an exclusive relationship and you realize it's not going to work. Instead of procrastinating, have the conversation. It's not like you have to invent something bad about the other person to justify the breakup. Instead, explain that you simply don't believe that the relationship is meant to be and that you believe there is someone else out there who would appreciate him or her more than you do. I've personally told a woman or two that she's someone else's dream woman and that it's time to let that guy find her. Though there's no perfect way to end what another person believes to be a perfectly good relationship, what I've described above is about as good as it gets. If you get a stream of invective in response, be sure to have anticipated it in advance and handle it with grace, such as to be expected even from high-quality people. Have the conversation in person if you can and be direct and sincere. As is the case when someone has done the other wrong, don't accept any bargains for getting back together. If just be friends, quote-unquote, is a future possibility, at the time of initial breakup really isn't the time to talk about it. This would only create a false glimmer of hope. What is happening here is the start of a very real grieving process involving denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. You may get phone calls or even unexpected knocks on your door, each of which will serve to chronicle your ex's journey through all of this. We'll discuss this phenomenon in greater detail in part 4. Regardless of gender, the truth is that most of us can handle the truth better than motos think we can. And we can certainly handle truth now better than we can handle divorce lawyers later, even if we don't realize it. Right on. So, what if you're on the receiving end of such a breakup? Though it may seem devastating at first, realize that you've dodged a very real bullet in the form of even more pain later. Though it's hard to expect not to vent some at the outgoing partner, try not to completely burn the bridge. And once you've composed yourself, if you have the character to endure it, you may be able to find out some very constructive ways to improve future relationships from your ex, or not, your choice. But no matter what, the key is to not let one breakup devastate you to the point of giving up on future relationships altogether. Just because one person wasn't perfect for you doesn't mean that you were doomed to loneliness. In fact, it's amazing how most of the time you end up raising the bar. As you do exactly that, you'll find yourself in control of your wildly successful dating life more and more. As you begin to enjoy increased options in the dating world, you'll find yourself calling the shots more in your relationships. It's all part of deserving what you want. In part 3, we'll talk about the particular nuances associated with breaking off short-term relationships. Among other concepts, we'll cover why guys tend to disappear off the map without calling, along with some surprising thoughts about how sex early in the relationship potentially affects things. Dealing with breakups, ending short-term relationships, part 3 of 4. In the first two segments of this series, we focused mainly on the question of why a potential breakup would happen. For the third installment, and for the final one, we'll be talking more about the when factor. You and I both already know that there's a big difference between ending relationships that haven't been going on all that long versus breaking up when you've been seeing each other, or married to each other even, for months or even years. Or is there? The answer may very well be, it depends. And what it depends on is generally the emotional state and or maturity level of the partners involved. People can get super wrapped up in a relationship very, very quickly. In fact, if you are particularly solid in your ability to create attraction while projecting a tantalizing image of high character and irresistible charisma, then you may run into a particularly upsetting problem. You see, once you become a person who genuinely deserves what he or she wants, you're going to find that people you date even once or twice will literally go on a mission to corral you into the barn, partner, preferably now, that is, if not as soon as possible. As high quality a problem as that sounds, it can get downright irritating if your own personal plan is to get to know as many motos as you're comfortable with on the way to discovering, over a reasonable amount of time, please, who the right person for you is. Or sheesh, maybe you just like to date lots of people for now, period. I've known women who live a pattern of seeing guys for 2 or 3 dates only to have them show up with engagement rings. We're talking situations here where they've known each other all of a week or two. Crazy. But if you're a man who exhibits the big four, masculinity, confidence, ability to inspire confidence and character, you may similarly find that women who meet you almost instantly decide that they want to keep you. If there's no chance you are going to be able to capitulate to the whirlwind courtship process here, and by the way, you shouldn't, I have a very specific way to handle the matter for you. First, reiterate to the person you're seeing what you should have carefully explained from the outset of the dating process, and that is that you're not interested in rushing into anything. If you've been honest from minute one, then this is a perfectly reasonable discussion to have. But don't plan on that little talk solving anything, really. It's usually, at best, simply a social courtesy of sorts, because if you are in such a situation, the other person's feelings are beyond your control. You can't make someone feel or not feel anything, really. Somewhere I read about the concept of doing the exact opposite of all the quote-unquote attraction triggers, so as to get someone to lose attraction on their own and walk away. The concept of suddenly getting clingy, needy, pushy, and/or flaky all in the name of getting someone else to opt out first is hilarious, but largely impractical, I'd say. The only ethical way to handle this is to call it off yourself. As much pain that is likely to cause now, you simply can't let this fester into a situation where you've allowed yourself to settle for someone simply so you don't, quote-unquote, hurt their feelings. It's like the old Fram auto filter commercials from the 70s and 80s. You can pay me now or you can pay me later. Dude, pay now. But wait, what if the opposite happens? What if you find yourself in a position of falling quickly for someone who you know is not interested, in a committed relationship or otherwise, or who you know is all wrong for you anyways? Well, yep, you guessed it. The same solution applies. Forget the horrendous adage that you can't help who you fall in love with. The hell you can't. Again, it's all about saving yourself a world of heartbreak later. Get out now before the emotions grow deeper and the ties become indelible. This involves discipline now, but you'll thank yourself in the long run. Hopefully, I don't have to talk about what should happen when you actually fall for someone who is falling for you back. But wait, I do. That's because I get weird emails from guys who've read some PUA book telling them that they shouldn't let themselves fall in love with anyone. Well, bury that thinking. What? You're finally happy and have found someone real for once in your life, and you're telling me that's why you should break up with her? Where's that 2x4 when I need it? I mean, some of you guys could use some tough love upside the head, huh? Gentlemen, ladies, don't fear success. Please. It's amazing how people will break up with someone not only because of advice that quote-unquote players don't have girlfriends, but because their own lack of self-esteem tells them they're not worthy of having a quality person in their lives. So the breakup is a quote-unquote preemptive strike of sorts. Now, granted, as we begin to deserve what we want more and more, we raise the proverbial bar. This can seem too good to be true at first, but don't throw in the towel simply due to fear. You've worked hard to deserve a great person in your life, or several. Now live with it. Obviously, incongruence between partners when it comes to strong feelings early on is a massive issue here, which is why we've covered it so thoroughly. But there's other reasons why people break up after a short time. An unfortunate truth is that some people are all about sexual conquest. Although this is a myopic way of viewing the world, and decidedly not a gender-specific one, by the way, it's how a lot of people operate. Now, I'm on record as saying I believe that how soon sex takes place in a relationship is not an absolutely reliable indicator of how long the relationship will last. I've known people who slept together on the first date and are still happy years later. I've also known couples who waited until marriage to have sex, only to disappoint each other and split up soon afterwards, unfortunately. But know this, if you're out there breaking up with people after the deal has been closed, quote unquote, you are not setting yourself up for success should you ever decide to actually have a long-term relationship someday. If it's all about the sex, you will get bored with everyone you sleep with. It's a fact. The novelty will wear off if that's all there is to it. If you're cycling through sexual relationships at a fast pace, you've got to ask yourself whether you're truly availing yourself to the fullness that modos can bring to your life. And by the way, if you're dumped shortly after having sex with someone, please don't sit around wondering how to get that person back and or how to convince him or her to have real feelings for you. Just live and learn. Another common scenario is simple loss of attraction. Someone can be ultra charming on day one, but turn out to be a completely different person under the surface on day two, or shortly thereafter. This is usually the culprit when someone simply falls off the map, never being heard from again after a date or two. Men in particular are prone to simply leave a woman hanging after a questionable date. In fact, sometimes the date could appear to have gone perfectly well and the guy doesn't call back. The reason for this type of behavior, as alluded to in the previous section, is that men are uber sensitive typically about hurting a woman's feelings and absolutely detest dealing with drama. Guys would rather stick their heads in the sand and forever leave a woman wondering why than actually attempt to endure whatever happens in a phone call explaining why he'd rather not see her again for whatever reason. Cowardly? Yes. Pandemic nonetheless? Absolutely. Indeed, authenticity is a must if you want your relationships to last. If you're running a persona that you cannot sustain long term, don't plan on sustaining long term relationships either. This goes double if you're into online dating. If you're misrepresenting yourself online, plan on very short relationships. We're talking a matter of seconds here under the most typical circumstances. And what to do if you're on the receiving end of someone who turns out not to be who he or she seemed to be? Well, in the case of first meetings with people you meet online, you have the right to end it right upon meeting someone. You have just cause. But my style was typically to treat the meeting as quote-unquote practice and hopefully see if there was any networking to be done. Burning bridges unnecessarily is a bad habit to get into and can come back to burn you. Think I'm kidding? Check this out. One chick off Match.com that I met for lunch turned out to be a real disappointment. She also turned out to be the primary contact at one of my company's largest customers, and she had done her homework and knew that going in. I was gracious and there was no harm done. When you lose attraction or never felt any to begin with, my policy has always been to go with the flow and go the extra mile, not to deal a devastating blow to someone's feelings, even if they deserve it in all honesty. First meetings with people you meet online should be informal and with deadlines built in by design. Lunch hours or morning coffee before work are perfect if generic. When you aren't feeling it, you can simply say, "Okay, I do wish you well on your search. Have a great day." If he or she doesn't get that message, send them to me for a 10-plus program because we've got lots of work to do there. And if you've had attraction but lost it, you're basically dealing with a variation on the theme of breaking up when nothing particularly heinous has happened. Firmly, but with genuine compassion, explain that you don't think he or she is a good match with you. Please don't give him or her the just be friends talk unless you mean it, though, deal? Because if you just don't want to be friends with them anymore, why string them along? In the next and final section, we'll wrap up with how to deal with breakups if you've been dating someone for a long time. Plan on some practical ideas you've never considered, and maybe even a surprise or two. Dealing with breakups. Ending a long-term relationship. Part 4 of 4. For the fourth and final section of this report on breakups, we're going to deal specifically with what may be the absolute most difficult situation that anyone who is single ever has to face. Breaking off a relationship that has gone on for a long time. Now, for the sake of clarity here at the beginning, it bears reiteration that this report is not about how to deal with divorce. As originally stated in part one, the concept of ending married relationships is replete with its own set of complications and therefore must be considered on a wholly separate subject above and beyond what this series has been designed to cover. So we'll limit this particular conversation to ending long-term dating relationships. So to kick this all off, let's get a handle on exactly what such a long-term dating relationship might look like. There is many reasons why two people would remain together for a long time as there are grains of sand on the beach, really. Some long-term relationships are casual or even on and off gigs that have carried on for months or even years, no doubt. And as long as both partners are honest and can remain uncommitted to anyone else on a monogamous basis, this can be fine for anyone involved, and everyone involved, of course. But clearly, when one partner finds someone else other than the casual partner whom he or she wants to be monogamous with, Such casual relationships should end. But man, is it difficult to simply cut ties with someone who has been there for so long, even if they're just there on an offhand basis. Truly, for many, such a scenario represents crunch time insofar as deciding what it is he or she really wants in life. Is it going to be to have a casual long-term relationship or several, or go for stability with one person long-term? Unless an open long-term relationship with a primary partner is an option for you, you've got to be comfortable with retirement from casual dating if you decide to become monogamous with someone. Otherwise, your integrity and your character, which is one of the big four, remember, goes down the drain. The problem with this whole scenario is that when long-term casual relationships end, it often comes out that one partner actually was holding on to unspoken hopes for something more. Whether we like it or not, in the real world, it's exceptionally difficult for two people to be together romantically without deep feelings developing somewhere. It's just human nature when attraction is involved. The longer that attraction incubates, the more likely it is to become unconditional love over time. So notwithstanding something heinous happening, which we've already covered, the simple truth is that when a long-term relationship comes to an end, one or the other of the two people involved probably had living happily ever after in mind. And someone is going to get his or her heart broken as a result. The surprising and even disarming concept at play here is that virtually all long-term relationships that end likely could have been called off much, much sooner had more open and honest communication taken place. Yes, the heartbreak could have been avoided, or at least severely lessened by calling things off much sooner. But as I'm on record as saying even recently, breaking up with someone you really like because you're afraid of quote-unquote getting hurt is not a healthy way to operate. So that's where the money question comes into play, typically but not always asked by women. And here it is. How long is long enough to date before having to come to grips with the fact that the relationship will likely never progress to marriage? I mean, seriously, what's the window of time for giving someone a chance to figure out what he or she wants from life? The answer there is purely dependent on two discrete factors. First of all, are you and your partner communicating? I remain flabbergasted by the number of couples who never get around to talking about anything of substantial depth, even after dating for a considerable length of time. You can enjoy the first few dates without broaching quote-unquote heavy subjects, but don't let this become a long-term habit. You've got to make sure you're on the same page as your partner as soon as possible on major issues like children, religion, life goals, etc., or else you're simply prolonging the inevitable. In all too many cases, I've seen breakups of long-term relationships happen that are months or even years overdue, all for this reason. Following logically from the first factor is the second. Are you and your partner on the same page with regard to marriage plans? If one partner would love to be married and the other could theoretically put it off indefinitely, then there's a serious disconnect which typically can only result in settling or a bitter breakup. Ultimately, I'm reticent to slap an arbitrary timeline on this process, as noted in the 8-part mini course we sent out to all of you who are subscribed to the newsletter. But that's not to say that there aren't objective indicators to look for. If you've heard promises from your partner that aren't being fulfilled upon, you're likely getting strung along. Again, this is not a gender-specific scenario. I met one 35-year-old woman who had just broken up with her boyfriend of 7 years because, quote-unquote, she wasn't ready for a commitment. Similarly, if your partner avoids the issue altogether or always seems to be postponing the conversation, you should take this as a clear message that he or she is not thinking marriage. Now, no matter who you are, if you've invested a large block of time in a relationship that you've been perceiving to have forever potential when the partner was merely along for the ride, the inevitable breakup is all the more bitter the longer it takes to happen. Here it is. If you do not see linear, mutually intentional progression of the relationship toward a common goal of marriage, you simply cannot count on it happening. Attraction should remain even as emotional and even cognitive closeness increases. Without all of that in place, you're flat out kidding yourself. So then, why would that other partner involved hang out in a long-term relationship that wasn't going anywhere, even under pressure from his or her partner to marry? Well, I have three I's that represent options to theoretically explain why this would go on. Number one is insincerity. This could be the culprit, as I've personally seen countless instances of one partner enjoying the quote-unquote convenience of what the long-term relationship is offering, even while actively cheating on the other partner. Or it could be insecurity. This could be a factor hinging largely on the negative feelings associated with having to quote-unquote start all over again with someone else. And finally, there's immaturity, which is a factor characterized by quote-unquote living in the moment for weeks that turn into months and years, all with no real idea of what one wants. And you know, that third factor of immaturity contributes to another possible reason why a long-term relationship would end. When two people enter into a relationship at a young age, both will undergo massive personal changes on the road to ultimately finding their respective personal identities. As people change, their priorities and attitudes change, which in turn have massive ramifications on the viability of long-term relationships. This is why so few high school sweethearts end up happily married forever and ever. And this is also why anyone who is yet in their teens or early 20s should always expect to enter an exclusive relationship with the lights on, constantly in touch with how personal development is affecting things. Ultimately, however, the fact remains, when long-term relationships end, one of the partners was expecting forever and will walk away with a broken heart. If you have to end a long-term relationship, do it in person if at all possible, and make it very clear-cut and objective. There's no need to rant or recite a checklist. After the breakup happens, which we'll assume is the result of serious soul-searching and a secure feeling in the desire to break up, your resolve must be strong. As related in the second part of this series, you've got to stick to your guns once you know the decision has been made. If you're the one broken up with after a long-term relationship, my guess is that if you're honest with yourself, you really could have seen it coming. And if not, then you've saved yourself a world of hassle later by breaking up with someone who is that controlled by whim and/or with whom you simply cannot communicate with openly, right? Finally, and significantly, when a long-term relationship ends, you can expect a full-on grieving process to ensue. Anyone who has ever studied basic psychology is probably familiar with the five steps in the grieving process. And a jilted lover will probably run the entire gauntlet of denial, anger, bargaining, and depression before finally accepting the situation. What this means is that the partner who is broken up with will not simply go quietly. Phone calls as if nothing has happened or even unannounced knocks on the door are par for the course here, like we've talked about. After that stage, assuming that other partner hasn't capitulated already to getting back together, more emotionally charged phone calls could begin taking place. If someone is hurt enough by what has gone on, you may even need to take legal action in the form of a restraining order in the interest of your own personal safety. I realize this sounds extreme, but after all, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. William Congreve got that one right, except that he missed the fact that dudes can also get pretty pissed off in their own right under such circumstances. Well, from there you may get calls laced with grandiose promises or even handwritten 10-page notes. In extreme and particularly pathetic instances, the ex may even propose a scaled-back version of the previous relationship as an alternate to flatly breaking up. This can take the form of offers to let the other partner see other people or even to resume the relationship at a purely sexual level. If you've broken up with someone and encounter this kind of bargaining, remain strong and stand your ground. If you've been broken up with, resist the urge to bargain as such. Long-term self-respect will serve your emotional well-being better than whatever is achieved by short-term bargaining and making deals like that. One particularly dramatic example of bargaining happens when a woman claims she's pregnant by her ex very shortly after a breakup. When confronted with such a situation, any man could first understand the possibility that a woman is simply indulging in a gambit designed to keep him around a while longer. I've personally encountered this predicament having broken up with a woman whom I wasn't really even intimate with. Imagine that. When there certainly could be an actual pregnancy involved, the scenario should be handled with emotional care. Nonetheless, the man should insist on a pregnancy test being performed when he is present to observe rather than blindly assuming anything. It really is as simple as that. When the depression phase kicks in, there may be sobbing phone calls, but more likely a period of getting over the other person that is unseen by the former partner. Finally, the good news is that most of us do get over our exes and move on. That is, we accept it. And in a staggering percentage of cases, we're glad we did. If, however, you're still struggling with getting past a major breakup for years after the fact, know that you're certainly not alone. But that said, Life is too short to live in the past. Epilogue. It is my sincere hope that this special report on how to handle breakups has proven beneficial and meaningful to you. Breaking up is never easy, but having all the tools you can to help make it go as well as expected always makes sense. Are you contemplating a breakup now? Have you just been broken up with? Do you suspect a breakup is imminent? If so, and you'd like personalized attention in helping to resolve the matter, drop me a note at scott@deservewhatyouwant.com, that's scott@deservewhatyouwant.com, to schedule some time with me. I can give you exactly the help you need to sort through all of that, up to and including moving on if you must. Thank you for listening to this audiobook version of Dealing with Breakups. Until I talk to you again soon, this is Scott McKay from XY Communications. Be good.